Every time I get up here, I get a little butterflies in my stomach. Not bad butterflies, just good butterflies, because I'm so excited to preach the word of God. As you noticed, as Lindsay said, Marlon is not here. There's not a man with gray hair standing up here giving the message. And we all miss him a lot, but he's down in Costa Rica where it's warm. I'm probably just as warm here yesterday. But while Marlon's down there, he gave me this task of preaching my last sermon here at Timberline. For those of you who weren't here last Sunday, this is my last day here at Timberline. I will be back over the summer a couple times to see you all. I'm not jumping ship. I'm just ending my internship. So it's been such a good opportunity to be here with you and to serve you alongside Marlon. Like I said, as many of you know, this is my last day serving as a pastoral intern here at Timberline. It seems like only yesterday that I just got started and I was sitting down with Marlon having that conversation of, do you desire to be an intern here at Timberline? I was sitting in class and Marlon came in and said, well, we're an Anabaptist church in Strasbourg and we're looking for a pastoral intern. And I'm like, wow, this looks like a great opportunity. I'm so excited. And so I sat down with Marlon and we had more and more conversations. And I really began to ask myself, is this the opportunity that God wants me to do in my life? Is this God's will for my life? You see, this wasn't the only time that's happened. When I was called to ministry at Millersville, I had this same feeling inside of me. Is this God's will for my life to go to Lancaster Bible College? Is this God's will in my life for me to become a pastor? Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one who has dealt with this. I'm sure all of you at one point or another have asked the question, what is God's will for my life? And it is by far one of the most asked questions I receive as a pastoral ministry major. What does God have for my life? And that's our sermon title for today. What is God's will for my life? Now, if you've been wondering for yourself, I'm glad you're here because we're going to focus in on exactly what God's will for your life is today. So if you're curious, pay attention. We're not going to preach on too many verses today because I really want to hit home the topic of what God's will is for your life. So today we're going to be focusing on two verses in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So if you want to open your Bibles and flip there, I'm going to give us a little quick context, really quick. We're going to go through the first 11 chapters of Romans in hopefully under 3 minutes. So I know that's really fast, but if you want these verses, we're not going to read through them. I'm going to send them to Phoebe and Marlon, and they can give you these this breakdown chapter by chapter, so you can look up the verses and sort of get an idea of what the themes are of each chapter. Chapter 1 is all about God's wrath upon humankind, especially the Gentiles, that we deserve wrath, that we can't get to God in and of ourselves, and that by nature we're people of wrath. Chapter 2 talks about the Jews, and the Jews were like, well, yes, the Gentiles are deserving of wrath. And Paul says, no, the Jews also are just as deserving of wrath as the Gentiles are. Chapter 3 is about what is their advantage if Jews and Gentile Christians are equal, what is the benefit of being a Jew? And the benefit of being a Jew, Paul says, is because they had the original law revealed to them, and that's the benefit of being a Jew. It's not anything special, but it is important that they have that cultural feeling inside of them. Chapter 4 says that it was never by the law that people were saved, but only by faith, just like Abraham, who didn't even have the law. So Abraham was saved by faith, and just like we are saved by faith as well. Chapter 5 goes into faith is the only way to achieve unity with God. Chapter 6 is we are no longer supposed to live in sin, but because we are under the authority of Christ. Chapter 7, we're no longer under the law because of the sacrifice of Christ. And then chapter 8, we get into God has a plan for us through his Spirit for the future. Chapter 9, Paul is talking about how Paul wishes that all would come to know Christ, especially the Jews. And chapter 10, the message of salvation is for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. And chapter 11, right before we get to our text, God has a plan for the Jews and the Gentiles together. Now, if you've been wondering about the book of Romans, I'm glad you're here today because we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul. And Paul was writing to the Jews in about 56 to 57 AD. And he was probably in Corinth when he wrote this book. You see, the reason he wrote this book is because the Jews were coming back to Rome. They had been expelled in the year 49 AD by Claudius. And Claudius passed an edict that said all the Jews have to leave Rome and they can't stay in Rome anymore. After Claudius died in 54 AD, the Jews began to come back to Rome, to those churches that they had, those little church plants that were all over Rome. And when they came back, they realized that there was something different. They realized that the Gentiles no longer were following the Jewish traditions, because our faith started in a Jewish tradition base, but instead they were following their own traditions and weren't following all of the rules that the laws that had been set down by the Jews. And so Paul is writing this letter to discuss why is it so important the Jews and Gentiles live in unity, and what's the difference. And so as I went through those, you could see the pattern of Paul walking through those steps with the Jews and Gentiles, saying, look, you need to be reconciled. Every single person deserves wrath, but everybody, Jews and Gentiles, have an opportunity for salvation. And it was important for them to understand that. And that's when we get to our text today in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The text says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Short and sweet, but very, very, very powerful nonetheless. We're going to break down this passage phrase by phrase, and we're going to sort of walk through and talk about each individual piece. Paul starts out saying, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. We're going to stop. I know that doesn't seem like much, but the therefore, we have to ask, every time you see therefore in a passage in Scripture, you need to think, what is the therefore, therefore? Why is it in the passage? And while some people say that this is only looking back to a couple chapters before, I believe from my personal study that this next section that we're going to talk about is encompassing the whole book of Romans. Everything up to this point is encompassed in the word therefore. This is the big transition. This is where Paul wants to go with the book. This is where we go from Jews and Gentiles to we're going to be transformed by Christ. That's why the therefore is important. So look out when you're reading the text. Look for those words. Look for those transition words because they help you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? The mercies of God are salvation. It is the gospel. And Paul writes and says, I'm appealing to you by the gospel, by that which you are saved, by what God did for you, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In the NASB commentary on the book of Romans, it says, because the sacrifice is living, it reflects the voluntary nature of the act. The sacrifices of the new order do not consist of taking the lives of others like the ancient animal sacrifices, but giving one's own. Such sacrifices are holy and pleasing to God. You see, it's important to know the context of this passage because Paul was talking to Jews, and Jews would have known, they probably had to lean over to their Gentile buddies and say, this is what this means. But when Paul was talking to them, they clearly had an image in their mind. Every year they had to go to Jerusalem. They had to sacrifice a lamb. The only place where you could atone for your sins was in the city of Jerusalem. And you had to do it over and over and over and over again. And it couldn't be fulfilled in and of itself. But the difference with this is it's not an animal that you kill and then it's done. This sacrifice of yourself is supposed to be continual and is supposed to be of your own will, of your own volition. It's supposed to be the passion inside of you that drives you to live for God. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Many different translations translate this different ways. Some people say spiritual service, reasonable worship, rational service, and so on. But perhaps the best paraphrase of it is, this is worship due from you as rational creatures. This worship that you're giving is deserved. You know, you're supposed to give that worship to God because you're rational. You can understand that God deserves the worship. If you're looking in your notes, now's the time to pull it out. Because, point number one, because of our unity in Christ, we should live sacrificial lives. I'll repeat that again. Because of our unity in Christ, we should live sacrificial lives. Just like the Jews would have understood that this sacrificial living was continual, but also personal. So we need to understand that in our lives and be ready to live sacrificially. Again, we should live sacrificial lives. Starting verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. That's where we're going to stop. What does it mean to be conformed to this world that we live in? Point number 2. We should not live in the same world, in the same way that this world lives in. This world lives in darkness and separation from God, lives in the futility of their minds. We as Christians should live as citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is not here on earth, not living in the way that earthly people, worldly people live. Instead, we should live differently because of Christ and because of his sacrifice. Continuing in verse 2. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, the Greek word for transform there, I'm sure some of you have heard this, but if you haven't, this is a really neat tidbit, is the word metamorpho, which is the Greek word from which our word metamorphosis was taken. You can almost imagine it's like a caterpillar. And this verse is saying we should be transformed by our relationship with Christ. I remember when I was a little kid, some of you may recognize this type of caterpillar. It's a parsley worm. And my grandma always used to have parsley. She'd have a big thing of parsley. And every year we would find these caterpillars gnawing on the parsley. So we would take them off and snip off some parsley and stick it in a jar, poke some holes in the top, and watch them go through this process of metamorphosis. And it is amazing. Scientifically, metamorphosis is insane. A creature like this little smooth worm transforms into a butterfly. You see, they go into a chrysalis, and while they're in that chrysalis, they are completely changed. There is no part of them that stays the same. Scientifically, they have proven that it is completely a new being when it comes out the other side of the chrysalis. When it goes into the chrysalis, it is a caterpillar, and everything about the caterpillar changed completely. The whole caterpillar breaks down and it reforms into a beautiful butterfly. And that's exactly what the parsley worm butterfly looks like. So if you ever have parsley and you see little caterpillars on it, don't get rid of them. They're really pretty when they fly away. But just like that caterpillar was ugly and gross when you first see it, and you're sort of like, ooh, I don't want that on my parsley. So our sin nature is like that caterpillar, right? So we live in that disgusting state of, well, it's sin. But when we come to know Christ as our Savior, we go through the process of metamorphosis. Any of you who have been born again, you have gone through this process. You need to be completely changed. You've gone from the state of sin, that caterpillar, that ugly place, to transformed completely, that nothing that you've ever done before is the same as what it is now. You need to be living in Christ as a transformed person, away from the sin, because of that transformation by Christ, our Lord and Savior. we should be transformed by a relationship with Christ. Continuing, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Point number four, believers should be transformed so that they can know the will of God. Again, I'll repeat that. Believers should be transformed so that they can know the will of God. It is so important to remember that we've been transformed through Christ, and that is where we get our knowledge of where the will of God is. So you may be asking yourself, Jacob, we read through that passage and I'm still not quite sure what the will of God for my life is. You said you're going to tell me exactly what the will of God for my life is. And we're just about to get there. We are a couple seconds away from learning exactly what God's will for your life is. If you're not paying attention, pay attention now, because God is going to speak to you right now. The question that has not been answered for, well, has been thought about for thousands of years is going to be answered where you're sitting right now. Are you guys ready? You can almost cut the tension with a knife here. God wants obedience? Wait, let me look at my notes again. God wants obedience? That can't be right. Let's read that again. God wants obedience? That's it? That's how simple it is? No way. Let's read the passage again. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, I think so often we get caught up in wanting to know exactly what the future holds for us and exactly what God has in store for us. That we forget that God wants us to love him and serve him out of a life of praise. You see, as long as you are serving God and you're obeying him, and you seek to bring him glory, no matter what you do, if you are living in that lifestyle, that transformed lifestyle, you will be within the will of God. So I have three questions for you today to evaluate where you're at in this process. Three questions to ponder if you are in line with God's will for your life. First, are you living a sacrificial life? Are you living that life that is completely changed, that gives everything to God? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. I urge you today, if you're not living a sacrificial life, if you're not giving everything you have to God, seek him. Seek to serve him wholeheartedly. Point number two. In what ways are you still conformed to this pattern, the pattern of this world? And I left a little blank there in your notes, and maybe this week you need to sit down and say, okay, well, what ways am I still conformed to the pattern of this world? Well, the butterfly is an extreme example of how much change has to happen. In humans, it's a process. It's a walking. It's that sanctification. It's that walking along the way and learning to be more and more like God. So what are those things that are separating you from God that are still worldliness inside of you? Seek to remove those things, the ways you're still being conformed to the world. And point number three, how are you being transformed by God? This is my favorite Bible verse in the whole New Testament. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Wow. We as believers need to look at that and say, I need to be changed. I need to continue to change. If you're stagnant, if you're somewhere where you're just like, well, you know, I sort of stayed the same for a really long time. My testimony really hasn't changed. I really don't have that much. Well, then you might need to think about, are you still being transformed? Are you becoming more and more like Christ and becoming that new creation that God has made you to be? So today, as we close, I want to reflect back on my time here at Timberline. It has been an amazing experience. It has been some of the best laughs that I've had, some of the deepest times of fellowship. You know, I look back through all that I've experienced, and I think about the transitional housing team and all that you're doing here and the times I've been involved with that. I think of Saturday mornings picking up sticks. I think of cutting down trees out back here. I think about the creative ministries team and all that they're doing to make the services more lively. I think about junior high Sunday mornings that were just really neat to talk to the kids and just talk about the gospel. But probably the group that influenced me the most while I was here was the elder board. We've had many laughs, lots of fellowship, and definitely eaten a lot together. Jim Snyder, Dwayne Harvey, Josh Christman, Caleb Putney, Keith Sensenig, and Marlon have poured into my life. When I came in, I was timid and shy, but instead, now I'm a little more bold. I'm a little more charismatic. You probably can tell from my preaching. You see, they lovingly poured into my life and affirmed God's call on me. But I think what has been the most influential part has been preaching the word and being able to share with you. I have such a passion to share the gospel, and it's been so neat to grow in that passion more and more, to have that desire, that burden to bring the word of God to you. God is fostering that in my heart, and I'm thankful for Timberline, for all that you have done, for challenging me, for pushing me, for getting me to see where I need to change, but also where I'm doing well. I thank you for being supportive and lifting me up as a young man in Christ. I'm thankful that you guys want to see people's lives transformed by Christ. It's so amazing to see a body of believers who really do desire to have that community, who want to be in fellowship with one another. So as we close today, I want to remind you, God wants obedience. That's it. You know, while I was here at Timberline, when I was so worried at the beginning about what God's will for my life was, the only thing I needed to know is if I'm obedient to God, and if you're obedient to God and are thinking about the ways of God and following them, God will be with you. It may not be easy. I'm not going to guarantee you it's going to be easy. Actually, the Bible says it's going to be difficult. But you're going to be in line with the will of God and what God desires to happen. See, we should be transformed by Christ to live a life of obedience to God. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how much money you have. God desires a life of obedience to him. That is God's will for your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we're grateful that you love us. God, we're thankful that you've taken us out of that lowly state like that caterpillar, and God, taken us and brought us to newness in your son, Jesus. God, we're thankful that we can come before you as your children through Christ. God, we're thankful that he sits at the right hand of you as we speak, interceding. God, we're thankful that you've given us your word, and in your words, you've taught us to be transformed. God, that you've taught us to not live lives that are of the world, but Lord, to instead be completely different, totally different than what we were before. God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for sending Jesus, our Savior, to come to the earth and live a sinless life that none of us could live, so that we could be with you forever in eternity. And Lord, if there's anyone here who is not sure about their relationship with Christ, Lord, or if they feel like they're in that worldly state, Lord, that they just don't know what to do, God, I pray that they would come and talk to one of us. You know, the prayer team will be up here, and I'll be up here, or talk to Marlon or one of the elders. That transformation that happens is the most amazing thing. And it is a guarantee of eternal life with him. And God, we're thankful for that guarantee that you give us of eternal life. And there's nothing anybody could ever do to take it away from us. So Lord, we live obedient lives for you. God, we want to be closer and closer to you, more and more like your son. God, we're thankful for his sacrifice on the cross so we can live with you forever and eternity. God, it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Wow. I'm sorry that I just had a Holy Spirit moment there. I just had to take a moment and be in awe of God. Now, if you'll all stand with me, we're going to close with a benediction. If we can have the prayer teams come forward, Lindsay and Vince, that would be fantastic. I don't know, maybe this sermon struck a chord with you. Maybe you're in a place where you just really feel like you need to be transformed, or you need to give up one of those ways that you're being conformed to the world. And maybe you need to pray with somebody. Maybe you need to come forward and just talk to them. That's why we have prayer teams. They love to pray with people. It's their desire to do life with you and pray for you. Prayer is a powerful thing. And if you have questions, I'll be up here. I'd love to talk to you. And I just want to close with a thank you for all that you've done for me as the pastoral intern. If you'll bow your heads, I'll close with a benediction. Heavenly Father, today let us go out being transformed by the light of Jesus, living as an example to the world, being filled with your Holy Spirit and empowered to do the will of God, which is obedience to him. May Timberline, now and forevermore, seek the glory of you. Lord, it is in the most powerful, amazing, wonderful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week, everyone.